Welcome to the Heads in Bed Show, where we teach you how to get more properties, earn more revenue per property, and increase your occupancy. I'm your co-host, Conrad.
And I'm your co-host, Paul.
All right, Paul, how's it going today?
Just another fabulous day here. We are as we're recording this, it's championship week in NCAA basketball. So a lot of things to watch if you're interested in that arena. I love seeing the Cinderella stories, those mid-majors, the Stetsons, the Fordhams of the world that maybe don't get the big play throughout the year, but it's a kind of a fun time. It's going to be time to fill out a bracket soon. That might be the best, you know. I get to worry about that on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday and just decide whether, you know, I just want to beat my kid this year. That's all.
How old is your kid for the listener? They don't know how old your son is.
Well, my oldest is going, he will still be five. I wish I could say he is six because maybe that would be better. No, but they'll both fill one out. And the 4-year-old and the 5-year-old have last year, AJ, my 5-year-old beat me previous year. At that point, 2-year-old, so they're, you know, he's just picking the logos, but he beat me too, so I just want to beat him both this year. I used to
the bars on the floor, my friend. That is not very good. I'm not really into college basketball. All right, give your prediction right now. So we're recording this March 14th. We'll give away the secret if you're listening to this. It's April, but we're recording this March 14th before my trip. So what is your prediction? You can look really smart right now.
I'm going to look real smart, real foolish. I think Houston is going to be in the final, and I think one of those ACC teams, so a Duke or a UNC, is going to make it. So a Big 12. Okay. We'll say generally conferences, Big 12 and ACC will be representing teams in the championship, and when that's the Big Ten and the Big East or whatever, y'all can, you know, don't take it to Vegas on me. I'll say it that way.
Yeah, the outcome will already be settled at this point. Actually, so as we were recording this again, this last week is NFL free agency. I was going to ask about your boy Kirk Cousins heading down to Hotlanta, I think is what the kids call it. And you know, the framing on it, I heard some interesting framing where, like, they're now out of Kirk Cousins' jail. Like, he puts you in this financial bind that now you're just like, the only small win of that, if there is one, I know it's not good to lose a good quarterback. We lost a bad quarterback, so it's like, whatever. No big deal. You just shrug your shoulders, and at least you're not like having to pay mediocre $50 million a year. So I guess that's, you know, a fun little fact.
I will say 100, that man has done very well for himself. I think he guaranteed money.
How about
over
this?
The
have
last...
you seen, have you seen how much he's made compared to LeBron James on the like field or on the court? Have you seen those comparisons?
No.
When this contract is over, I think they're projecting LeBron's going to keep playing. I think this is the case. He's made $1 million less than LeBron James on the court versus on the field. So that's how much money he's made in his career. And the basketball players get paid well. Like, it's not like, you
they
know,
do know that.
Players, you know, so Kirk Cousins will likely end his career on the field having made pretty much just as much as LeBron James. And there might have been years in there where he lived in lower tax states because now LeBron's in California. So I bet his actual net take-home pay will be higher than LeBron James. So there you go.
He's done well for himself.
Good for him.
I would take your free agent quarterback pickup of Jacoby Brissett over hours of Sam Darnold, but that's a whole nother discussion.
And, he was out there.
Goodness. We got him.
We were going discount shopping on that one. Yes.
We were too, and you still got a discount.
We'll see. They would never do it. They would never do it. This could make an interesting conversation if I end up being right about this, though. So again, we're saying this on March 14th. What if Justin Fields wiggled his way over to Minnesota? You'd have to do a turnaround there as far as like whatever your opinion is of Justin Fields. But like that actually does make a little bit more sense as far as talent, opportunity. It's a good roster. Like he's throwing to good players. I mean, I'm not like a Justin Fields stan or fan or anything like that.
Right,
but I think like that would be a better outcome for Justin. He would get a chance to play. And like Chicago doesn't want him. So like, why not?
No.
Like, that does make some sense. All right, we'll see. I could be Nostradamus if you see that trade alert, you know, and then you're looking back on us. Or he's cut, and, you know, this is all a moot point. But anyway, speaking of fun points and speaking of things that happen, homeowner marketing happens. So, Paul, we were deciding we have a shorter one today. We spent 4 minutes on sports when we have very little time, which is probably not ideal. But all good. So you came up with this idea of the offer. And the offer is a very specific thing. So we can kind of do it justice, I think, even in a relatively short period of time, because we're not talking necessarily about the media or the creative. Maybe you could articulate that direct mail versus cold email versus there's all these different channels. But whatever you're a vacation rental manager out there, you are at various points making an offer to a homeowner. You're trying to entice them. And a lot of these offers aren't very good. So maybe you could talk a little bit about what the typical offer is and what you've seen on the Venturi side of things of what tests might look like to make the offer more appealing for the homeowner.
Well, I think everybody's offer is, well, we're going to make more money for you. Well, sure, that's the goal. That's the dream. You don't control that. You can't do anything to really, you know, you could quantify it, but there's not really anything you can say in concrete that this is what we're going to be able to do. So I think, you know, it's something that there's a lot of different things that you can offer to people. It is from free digital locks to that. I think everybody thinks, oh, a free income projection. That's great. You can project how much they're going to make and we're going to make more for you. But what can you tangibly give someone? And I know, I mean, at previous times we've talked about, well, let's put together an onboarding package. Well, let's do some of these things like this, things that you already do for the homeowner themselves. That is, and that can be part of your compelling offer. Sometimes it's just about telling people what you do and making sure that they understand this is what we do, just to ensure that you're going to be successful in, you know, making more money, having a better home care for your home. When we look at some of those items that we often suggest that people do, free photography. That's an easy one. That's a light one where, you know, we'll come in, we'll take better pictures of your home so that when we put it out on those booking sites, it's going to look awesome. It's going to be Instagram worthy. It's going to be one of those top performing properties that Airbnb wants to show more frequently or whatever you want to do there. You can take that a little further, is maybe do free 3D tours or free drone photography. It is anything you can do to paint the home in a better light. I think that's always something that you want to consider. And it is, it ultimately will help. And you've seen it on the guest side, certainly, that it's going to help the property perform. It is, you know, interior design consults, home improvement credits. These are some things that I think if you wrap a lot of these things together in that onboarding package and say, you know, you put a dollar value on it. This is a $2,500 value that we're just giving it to you for free. Now, we're giving it to you for free, but at the same time, it's that $2,500 investment for that property manager up front is worth way more in the long term of that gross booking revenue that you can hope to yield from that property and doing stuff like that. So it is. I think you can take it in a lot of different directions. And it is, and being able to test those things, and we can talk about that in a little bit here, but you want to try different things out. You don't just want to keep it, you know, I'm going to do free digital locks for the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, that's all right. But what if that doesn't move the needle? I'm going to do the free income projection. Well, what if that doesn't move the needle? Well, let's take a look at some ways that we can test some of those offers out. And I think that's even a little more universal with, I mean, any offers that we're running, whether it's on the owner side or the guest side, I think you do want to test different messaging, test a different deliverable, test a different value, you know, percentage versus dollar amount off, that type of thing. I think that's always beneficial to see what is that end user really seeing as the value here. So it's a lot of talking. what do you think about that? How does that all either, I mean, I know you've done some of it on the owner side as well. How does that work there? How does it carry over to the guest side for you?
Yeah, I think that on the guest side, it's like the value proposition is always the same, especially, you know, with dynamic pricing. It's like, we're going to try to charge you the highest possible rate, if we're being honest, right, that we can get for this listing during this date, during this time frame, and you're going to try to pay as little as possible and still get a good property for the most part, unless you just have an asset that's, you know, an unreasonable value for money, whether the experience or whatever. So on the guest side, I feel like the things to play with could be more of, we have had clients that have done this before, like the whole free beach gear, you know, late checkout, like those types of things that are more like little bonuses or benefits. But I think to your point, the homeowner piece is where you have to get a lot more creative, because to be honest, right, you have to do a significant amount of marketing for homeowner and your response rates are very low, right? Like I can't run ads on the guest side where we get 1 out of 1,000 people to click on a campaign and go to our page and even potentially fill out a form. But in owner direct mail, not only are those numbers pretty common, they actually still work fine from a unit economics perspective, right? If you're sending out 5,000 postcards and you got 5 leads back from that consistently and you did it every time you sent it, then Tori would be doing very well for you, probably speaking, you know, probabilistically speaking, because you know so many of those postcards are just thrown out. So I think the benefit on the homeowner side to testing different offers is, to be honest, when you haven't done a lot of volume of marketing, you just don't know what people are actually going to respond to or not. And if across those 5,000 people that you're marketing out to, if it's a postcard send that you're doing, you don't know who picks that up on a given day, what they're actually, you know, motivated by or what they, you know, will do well by. But I share your kind of concern with the idea that a revenue offer is not necessarily the most appealing thing. You know, a free revenue projection. That's like going to a restaurant and they're saying, like, we're going to cook the food. Like, I would hope that you give me a revenue projection before I started managing your listing. It's kind of like a reasonable, you know, base level assumption. So I think the problem with a lot of homeowner marketing is it just kind of washes over people, is that especially because they get a high volume of it typically. You know, I'm getting one from Acasa, I'm getting one from 12 other local companies. And I get it. Like, you know, that's the business that, you know, we're in, where we have to stand out from the crowd, so to speak. And it does make it hard when your offer doesn't really look any different or feel any different than anybody else. And for whatever reason in our industry, we just haven't evolved or done a lot of testing around the offer. And I think that that's something Venturi is working towards, you know, fixing and doing a good job of. But before we had started working together, you and I, on these things in the past, I mean, I would always just see the same thing. And it was almost just like a fact sheet. It was, you know, the postcards were sent out and it would basically just be like, here's the name of the company, I've been in business this long, picture of our office, like, here's our team, like, we have X number of listings maybe or whatever. But there wasn't even like even a clear call to action. It was just like a phone number on the back, or, you know, maybe a webpage URL in the back or something like that. Not even tracked or, you know, anything. And that was it. That's what people were running with. So you guys have like improved this significantly, but it's still up to the property manager, to be clear, to articulate what their value is. I think that's the missing piece, right? Like, it's not Venturi's job nor Build Up Booking's job on the side to build the value of your company for you, of like what you guys do differently. That's your secret sauce. And then we should go shout to your target market, whether it's homeowners or guests, what your secret sauce actually is. So maybe you could go through that idea a little bit of like trying to amplify the message and not build the message for the client, because that's not really necessarily what we're always doing.
Right. And I think because everybody does have more or less the similar blueprint of how they do it, it is difficult to differentiate yourself, but that's why you have to do it. I mean, because there is so much noise out there, because it isn't just about, I mean, even if it were just your local competitors, that'd be great. But it is Vacasa, it is Evolve, and it's a lot of other people trying to come into the space as well, trying to do the exact same thing. So how do you cut through that clutter? That I do think the nice thing about the digital side that I've been able to see, and you know me, I'm not a big Facebook person, but this is the one area where I've found it very helpful to be able to use some more of that. I call it the multivariate testing, but we use those dynamic or the responsive ads, and be able to test out some of those different asset types, and to be able to test out some of those different offers in the actual ad content itself. And is it just straight one-to-one of, oh yeah, well, Facebook's going to do this one more frequently because they're going to serve up this to this person and this and like that. I think it gives us a pretty good understanding of what is the value in this market. And we see it. If we, you know, go to some of those more metro markets, we tend to see the headlines that talk more about their ROI being more valuable. You talk about some more of those niche markets, it is. It's about that home care. It's about how you can give them, that owner, that peace of mind, and making people feel like, okay, I can put my $1 million home in your hands. It's going to be taken care of. It's going to, you know, have all that. I don't have to worry. It's the stress-free property management. I think that when you're talking about these offers, you kind of have to blend that quantitative with the qualitative. Yeah, I want to see how much you can make, but I also want to know what you're going to do to protect my asset. So putting something together like that free digital locks and giving people, or the onboarding package with free digital locks to give people that peace of mind. Maybe you're going to put Noiseware in there. Maybe you're going to do that design consult. Maybe you're going to, you are going to give them $1,000 to put new furniture in, or to replace that old refrigerator, or to turn that regular kitchen into a gourmet kitchen. Like, these are things that I think at that point, when you're using those compelling offers, the homeowner can see the vision of what you're presenting too. And then your USP, it explains itself. Maybe I think that's maybe a little too general or too broad strokes there, but it is. It's trying to figure out ways to capture that value. And the more you can build out those personas, the more you understand who you are trying to deliver to. I mean, let's face it, in our space, there's a lot of trusts or a lot of these larger entities that own a lot of these homes. They're probably not as worried about, you know, they have different concerns than do the, you know, this, the small family who has a second home, a second cottage somewhere, something small. They want to be able to use it. They want to be able to, you know, have that free unlimited owner use, which scares me all the time, but you know, whatever. It's not an investment for them. So truly understanding who you're marketing to and segmenting that appropriately helps, as with anything, helps that offer go a little further and make sure that it is compelling. Because if I'm sending an ROI type of offer to someone who doesn't really care about that, is more concerned about being able to use the home whenever they want to, of course we're not going to match up, and we're never going to be able to sell that owner. So I do think that a lot of the what makes an offer compelling is understanding who you're marketing to and making sure that you're giving them something of value. It's just saying we're going to make you more, we know that's not right, but it's really not right for the people who are more concerned about the home care than they are about that ROI.
Yeah. I think that's like when you, if you ever encounter a bad salesperson, what do? They keep going back to their script. You know what I mean? When it's like, you're trying to buy a car and he's like, yeah, man, it's got 300 horsepower. But like, my wife doesn't care about 300 horsepower. Like, she cares about safety. You know, she would care about reliability. Maybe she care about how it looks. You know what I mean? Like, those are things that would be more important to her than the fact that it has 300 horsepower. And if the salesperson was just going back again and again on 300 horsepower, you're just going to be like, okay, dude, like, I don't care about that. Right. And we do see that quite a bit. Now, that the trouble with direct mail and the trouble with any sort of like media that's not interactive, right, that's like one-sided, whether it's a cold email, whether it's direct mail, is that we don't know what the objections are. So we have to use our intellect and our intuition to try to predict what those, you know, kind of roadblocks might be. Oh, am I going to be able to use my home? Like you mentioned a second ago. Well, we actually allow unlimited owner use. You can block off whatever dates you want in our online system. You don't have to talk to us or anything. You log in, click block. You can use the property. We'll clean it for you, you know, upon your arrival, and we'll clean it when you depart. Get that ready for the next guest. Okay, cool. Like that, to your point, that's the hook for the person who goes, you know what? It's my second home. I go there frequently, but I want to cover my costs while I'm not there, which is really how our industry started anyways. Like this whole idea of like ROI, I feel like, is a newer one. I say newer, I mean like 2020 forward, you know, and Mike Harrington has alluded to this many times before, where it's like, he's been doing this for a long time, you know, 20 plus years. And he's like, it was never an ROI. Like, there was never an ROI in buying a beach house and, you know, X market and that sort of thing. Maybe there was a little bit, but it was always just meant to be, I use it. And then when it's not there, you rent it out. That was always the game. So understanding, like you said, I think the mindset is so critical. And the offers, to your point, the reason that you have to test different offers is, number one, you just don't know what's going to resonate with people. But even within that group of 5,000 people, you don't know which people are going to resonate with which offer too. What you described as far as segmentation makes a ton of sense once you know. Again, if I was sitting in front of you talking to you, you would know how to pitch me if you've done it before, because you go, Conrad seems to care about this. I'm going to, you know, try to guide the conversation in that direction and talk about how we do it that way. I may mention other things. I may mention our dynamic pricing. So, hey, when you do rent it out, when you're not here, we're going to try to get the most possible, you know, revenue out of the property. And they're, even an owner that's not revenue focused or overly revenue focused, excuse me, is going to feel like that's a positive thing, but it's not going to be their primary concern, right? Their primary concern. In fact, some people may worry, you know, I remember this a while ago, where I had a client that I worked with here in the Myrtle Beach area. And he was indicating to me that a lot of his owners will tell him, go ahead and block out the bike weeks. We have two bike weeks. They get very crazy and wild at times. And they go ahead and block out the bike weeks. I don't want any bikers in my property, basically, was their conclusion. And, you know, nowadays that would be seen as like ridiculous, because that's your chance, right? Yield up that revenue to the max, high demand, you know, high traveler, you know, kind of profile coming in. These people are affluent. They have these, you know, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 motorcycles. They'll pay whatever, you know, let's go ahead and make our hay during these 2 weeks. But 10 years ago, that wasn't the mindset. The mindset was, I don't want my property to get damaged. You know, I know you're not going to have the chance to validate that there's someone quality in my place and they might damage it, and therefore I don't want to deal with it. So therefore block out the weeks and call it painting or whatever. And I was like, what a turnabout, right? When you think about what that owner would be optimizing for versus what a different owner would be optimizing for. I think I've done this analogy before. So if the previous listener, you know, is listening to a lot of our episodes, here's a bit of repeat here. I apologize, but I know there's some new listeners, which is that I think you should look to these industries that market kind of a commodity product, but do it in a very engaging way. The example I always give is, of course, the mattress industry. A mattress is kind of a commodity product. You buy one very irregularly. Maybe you buy one every like 10 years, 7 years. Like, mattresses last a pretty long time, unless you're a vacational host or manager, then you buy them all the time, funny enough, for your business. But as far as like your personal use, like, I bet the mattress that's sitting in your house has probably been there for a few years and you might replace it. I think we replaced ours that we had before we moved into our old house, and we just replaced it like a few months ago. So that was like 6-7 years that we had that thing, and then we got a new one. And yeah, so you do it so infrequently, but what do you see advertising constantly like right now as we record this, they're probably having a March Madness sale, you know, for at the Metro store. When they go into spring, yep. It'll be the Easter sale, you know, at the end of the month. We'll get into April and they'll have something else that they're doing. You know, there's like, they're always inventing new reasons. And I think that the vacational manager can actually use the same idea, because let's be honest, you are not that you're marketing a commodity service. I hope you're not, but you are marketing something that doesn't really change month to month. Like your approach to vacational management isn't different in March than it is in April. It's like, we're doing the same things. So you've got to kind of create, I think, this like freshness to the media and to the marketing that you're doing. And I think that is one way to do it, is to have a lot of offers that you rotate in and rotate out. So people who pick up the postcard may have been like, oh, I didn't know that I was getting a smart home kit or whatever. So maybe you could talk to this fact, which is something that I've said before, which is that sometimes we've gone through this process, you and I together before, where like forcing the vacational manager to articulate what they do for their customer, for their homeowner. And they like realize, right. I'm like, wow, this is a lot that you guys do on this postcard. It looks like you're just saying like property management or vacational management. You're not going into the details and digging it out. So maybe you could talk about like what that process is like to kind of go through. I know you guys have a marketing asset that you work on if they're a Venturi client called Key Messaging. Maybe you could talk about that and then how it helps you build some more compelling offers.
Yeah, it is. We run people through a pretty long document. I mean, it's the meeting that we used to do that is usually an hour long, and it usually almost always extends. I mean, this is something that you do really, you start to get people thinking in different ways about their business. It's not just, okay, how am I going to, it's not thinking about how am I going to get a homeowner or what do I do? It's really making them consider the business at a deeper level, not just guests, not just homeowners, but what do I do that's different? And it does. It's taking them down to who is talking. I mean, we can go through the whole key messaging thing there, but who is talking about you? What are they doing? What are people who you currently work with? What are they saying about you? And it is when you kind of throw that back on the property manager, it's just that aha moment of, oh, I hadn't really thought about how they are looking at us. I just thought about, you know, how I see the, and admittedly, it's how I see the marketing coming in from other competitors. Well, already you're starting in the wrong spot because you're focusing on what they're doing and not on what you're doing. I think it can be a painful conversation because a lot of the questions that we're asking, and again, we work with people who don't have any units to have 500 units or just acquired a new property. So it is. It's even those people that have 500 units, they may not know what sets them apart. They may just think, well, you know, right now it's just that we have this great brand and people know it and people like it and we don't have to do a whole lot of work. Well, you did a lot of work to get that brand to where it was. So let's not say that this is just luck and that I mean, there was a lot of groundwork and equity that you had to put in to get out where you are. But it does come down to these things that they can't identify what they do better than someone else. So maybe they marketed themselves better than someone else previously, and now they're able to leverage that. But for the people who don't have that equity built in, it's a difficult conversation. And in some cases, it's let's reevaluate how you see yourself right now, and not reevaluating markets, but how can we use this USP, this review to kind of paint the picture of what your homeowners are looking for moving forward, what your guests are looking for moving forward. You keep double tapping on the money. It is one of the scariest offers that I still like. Anytime I hear it on a strategy call, guaranteed revenue. And that probably goes back to that 2020, 2019 period where that's all people were. It is that I'm going to get you $15,000 a month. If we don't get that, I'm going to pay you the rest. Well, in a perfect market, yeah, sure, that can work. But I still hear that. Not for a while, it felt like I was hearing it like every other week. Now it's maybe once a month, once a quarter type of thing. But there's still people that they have that so ingrained in their minds that is the only value. Like, I need to tell you that you're going to make this much so that you partner with me. Whoa, I get that's probably compelling, except for when your accountant or bookkeeper takes a look at things and the revenue is not quite fluctuating, your controller's not able to get checks out to homeowners, or we're scraping the bottom of the barrel. That's I think there are other ways. I mean, there are just other more compelling offers, better ways to do it. The last time that I had someone suggest that as an offer, I just asked them, you know, what do you see? Like, where do you see that being more valuable to the homeowner than saying we're going to provide that onboard? It is. I use the onboarding kit example. They said, well, they want to make the money. I said, not everybody wants to make the money. They hadn't thought about that. They just were so driven by, because they're investors. They're in the real estate business. That's what they know. But you still got to take into consideration, who is that audience? I mean, as in everything we do, it's all about that audience. It's all about making sure that messaging is reaching the right audience. And if you don't have the messaging right, it doesn't matter what the offer is. You'll never be truly successful or have that sustainable growth and scalable growth that you're hoping for. So, yeah, it's tricky.
Yeah. It's hard to come up with the right offer. It's hard to articulate that offer in a way that's clear. And to be honest, you know, I was pulling this quote while you were going through that. It's Robert Collier had this quote: you need to enter the conversation happening in the customer's mind. So if you know what your homeowner is actually thinking about internally, then you can actually enter that conversation with the right offer, whether it is revenue, whether it is property care, whether it is, you know, all these other things. You know, I'm worried of property damage. I'm worried about this. I'm worried about that. All those things they're worried about. I'm worried that you're not going to do better than my last property manager. They may be in it with a property manager that's good, and they go, you know what? They're good. They're not great. I don't know but there's no guarantee that if I switch to you, it's going to be better. So you have to kind of enter that conversation and figure out a way to fix it. And sometimes testing the offer on your marketing is one way to do that, instead of doing what does, I think, get a little formulaic and what does kind of get people in trouble, which is this idea of like repeating out the same things over and over again, free revenue projection, things like that. These things kind of tend to fall flat on their face, I think, if it's not, you know, kind of repeated. So I know we're roughly at time here, Paul, on your side of things. You have to jets today, so we will stop beating this up too much, but I think it's an interesting topic. So hopefully the listener got some value out of it. Yeah, homeowner lead gen, it's hard to do. Your response rates are going to be low. Your conversion rates are going to be low. The best, largest, most successful companies in your industry who have spent millions of dollars on homeowner marketing still get relatively low response rates. By low, I mean like far less than 1% of the media that they send out. Yes. Certainly if it's physical media, it gets responded to. So if you are a small property manager, to be honest, it might be even harder for you. But one way to fight against that is to come up with these clever, you know, creative offers. And hopefully we've given you some ideas today, and Paul's given you some ideas today that you can test and put into your media, your marketing, which can make your homeowner, you know, lead gen flow a little bit faster. Get the leads coming in a little bit quicker. It'll definitely benefit you and your business. So that's all we got for today, Paul. Hopefully the listener is listening in a time capsule to our March 2024 predictions in April, and everything that we said is true. And they, you know, they can talk about, man, not only did these guys know marketing pretty well, they're pretty good about sports too. You know, maybe that's a fun little, you know, it's always good to have that second thing kind of in your, you know, a little feather in your cap instead of just being a one trick pony, like some people accuse us of and they have accused us of in the past. But again, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. If you made it this far, you must've got some value out of the episode. Therefore you owe us one thing, which is to go to your podcast app of choice, leave a review, 5 stars, click that button. Not only will it put a smile on our face, but it'll just make our whole day, and we'll feel better for having this time today recording with you. So thanks again, Paul, for your time. We'll catch everyone in the next episode of the Heads in Bed Show. Have an awesome day. Thanks so much.